Okay, this is June 15th, and the topic this month is the power of forgiveness.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all at once is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that I am one with this thing called the universe. I'm one with this thing called God. And I am here on this plane of action at this present moment to bring joy and happiness and fulfillment into my life and into the lives of the people that are around me. We have to remember that. We are here to enjoy. We are not here to suffer in any way, shape, or form. We've been taught that, handed that bunch of malarkey through most of the brand name churches. They want you to suffer. They think that you're here to suffer and to be punished and all that. You're not. You're here to enjoy. You're here to come to a self realization that you truly are one with God. That is all this journey is about. You're coming to a realization that you're one with God. And you have to do that every day. You have to say to yourself, I'm becoming more and more godly. I'm becoming more and more godly. I can now see how God sees things. I can now raise my consciousness to a different level where I am viewing the world completely different than I had before. You see, this teaching and this expression comes from a man by the name of Vernon Howard, and it is, there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And that's what this teaching is trying to show you, that there's a different way to go through life. That you don't have to put up with the nits and fleas of life. When I use that word, nits and fleas, I mean all the suffering, all the stuff that people are going through out there. If you watch the television, they're all going through all this crap that you think is great. I watch a program, I think it was on Sunday, and it's no wonder we're so conditioned. The man's child disappeared, I don't know what, but he said that, talking to the press, he said, well, I know that if she's in heaven, she's looking down now, and if she's in heaven, she's with all the people, you know, that have gone on before her and all. That's a lovely thought. It's not true, but it's a lovely thought. And we like to do that. And we wonder why we keep thinking that type of thing. Because it's reinforced constantly. It's just constantly reinforced. So anyway, this teaching is to teach you to enjoy your life. To really have fun. This is a wonderful gift that we were given, this thing called life. And now we have to use it in the correct way so that we don't suffer all these things that other people are suffering. Here again, Andy, at the end of the teaching, says, call Dallas if you have a problem, do this, that, and everything. Absolutely do that. Because if you suffer for more than 3 minutes, there's something wrong with you. There is always help out there. And somebody that can show you a different way to look at the situation. You see? It's all, what kind of a world do we live in? Does anyone remember?
Mental world?
A mental world. It's all mental. Everything that's going on in your life is going on because of what you're thinking. And then when you can change your thinking and see things differently, your life changes. So one of the ways to change your life is through this idea of forgiveness. And there is a power in this idea of forgiving. Because when you forgive yourself, you now can look out and start to forgive other people. People who don't forgive themselves can't forgive anybody else either. You see, and it just keeps going on and on. I think most of the trouble that we have in the world is because people have not forgiven themselves. They're punishing themselves, and therefore they're projecting that out onto everybody else. You see, I'm no good, I'm this, that, or whatever, so therefore no one is any good. You can't do that to yourself. You have to know that everyone is doing the very best they know how to do. Everyone is doing the very best they know how to do. And I'm going to tell you a quick little thing. I had a friend. She's, I think, still on the plane of action. I haven't seen her for a long time. Dolores was her name. She had a son with a fireman. Dolores is a very difficult person. Dolores called me and said, "What can I do about my son? He's this, that, and the other thing." So I said, "Have him call me." And I talked to him, and she said, "Well, what should I do, Dallas?" I said, "You should call your son and say, all is forgiven, come home." She said, "I can't do anything." "Oh, I couldn't do that." I said, "You have to say, all is forgiven, come home." She could not do it. Her son killed himself. Mm-hmm. Her son killed himself. And all it had taken was to say, all is forgiven, come home. Mm-hmm. All is forgiven. What is so hard with that, to say that? But he did. He actually killed himself. So I know the power of forgiveness. Why do we not want to forgive ourselves and forgive other people? You know, I don't want to carry all that stuff around anymore. I don't want to carry unforgiving things about people around. And we used to do that, didn't we? We collected all the nasty things that people did, and we carried it. Don't do that to yourself. It only fills up your mind with the wrong thoughts. And you want a wonderful, empty mind, as they say, so that you can fill it with what you want. But through all our conditioning and so forth, we have such a cluttered mind, absolutely cluttered with stuff that we do not need. Some days thoughts come up through my consciousness that are, well, I guess by now, almost 70 years old. I don't want those thoughts anymore, and I immediately say, go back to the nothingness from whence you came. Give me a better idea, give me a bigger idea, give me something different to think about. I don't want to churn something over from the next 30 years. Many people do that because they cannot forgive. They cannot forgive. I talked the other week when we were talking, I talked about, I think that the Amish are the only people that can instantly forgive. And I happen to love the Amish. I grew up around them. Do you remember when they had those, I talked about that before, about the school and all, and I said after those young girls were killed, they went over to the wife and, you know, said, "Our walls forgiving this." But I forgot to tell you what I thought was one of the most wonderful things that you could do, which we will never do, and we'll talk about that. They immediately tore that school down and put it right back to farmland. Now they built it somewhere else, a school, but they got rid of it completely. So that your mind's not looking at that school and saying, "Oh, there's where they all got killed, there's where they all got killed." Or sending more children into a place where there were this disaster happened. These are thought atmospheres. They stay in that place. If you do that, you cannot do it. You have to get clear of the whole thing. Now, let's look at what we did in Columbine. We didn't tear that school down. And why wouldn't we tear that school down? It's too big. It's too expensive. It's too this. So send the kids right back to that school where all that violence took place. that what happened there, those vibrations are still in that building.
But they did tear down the one at Sandy Hook.
Oh, did they? Well, see.
The one back east where all the little kids were. They did tear that one down.
Right. And that's what they should. We should get rid of it right away because it's just, you know, it's a mental image. And that Columbine thing to send people back into there thinking it's not going to do any damage. I think it's called psychometry. I took a little weekend thing about psychometry from my friend Joyce Reynolds, the motivator of One or a Thousand. And she's, this energy, all kinds of energy, is in everything that you have, your furniture, everything. I always check all that stuff out before I drag anything in my house. I find out what vibration is going on before I drag it in. Robberies and so forth, where the necklaces and stuff are stolen. You know, people buy that and put it around their necks, for God's sake. You can't do that type of thing because the energy is in that item. It's right there. So we have to clear that stuff out. So we have to forgive. It's gone. It has to be the most powerful thing that you can do for yourself. You see, even more powerful, or right up there, with this idea of love, the idea of forgiving. You cannot hold this stuff behind. When I grew up in the land of Nod, they never forgot anything that you did. And they could instantly bring it up. Do you remember 30 years ago when you did this, 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 and this? Well, no, I don't. I was only 6 years old. I don't remember any of them. But they did that. They held on to everything. They still do it. They still do it. Why? Well, for one reason, they don't know any better. And for the other reason, they go to church every Sunday. And that, what does church tell them? Don't forgive those people. They, you know... And church should be a place that's teaching forgiveness all the time. Should teach forgiveness, you see. I know August grew up a Catholic, did you not?
Mm.
Did they talk about forgiveness or did they talk about punishment? Punishment.
And he still does.
Yes. Well, covering Catholics, it's very difficult. Because the Catholic Church has a saying, give me a child of the age of 5 and they will be mine forever.
I have a girlfriend like this, and I often think it's a fear of letting go. You're trying to hold on to things in life, like this, and that's...
Well, because they identify with it.
Amazes me, it's just...
What? Part of their identity.
Pancake breakfast 20 years ago, this happened, and it's like, wow.
Who wants to do that? I grew up in that type of an atmosphere, and I grew up in an atmosphere of drinking. And as soon as they got their buds on, they told you the same damn story. Verbatim. They never changed the damn thing. I mean, throw in a new word. Come do something. No. The tape went on and they just kept going with it. They kept going with it. And they lived their lives that way. You know. Now, my father died at 65. But he was, he could tell the same story over and over and over. I felt, and I often thought, don't you know that you told me that story yesterday when you were drunk? You know? No, they don't remember. They tell the same story over and over. So, we have to forgive him. I have to forgive myself for all the things that I thought at the time. But when we grew up in that atmosphere, we didn't know any better. You see, I had no idea I came from a dysfunctional family, because all the families were dysfunctional. So you don't know that it's a dysfunctional family till you go down and see something real and somebody, you know, a relationship, a family that is finally not dysfunctional. So you have to forgive all that kind of stuff. So what I'm trying to say here, there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And that's what this teaching is trying to teach, that you do not have to put up with all that stuff. If you're having any difficulties in your life, it's because of your thinking, and it can be changed. And it usually can be changed by forgiving yourself, forgiving the other person, whatever's going on. You just have to start over, and you say, it all is done with communication. You have to just keep communicating and communicating and communicating. Never give up communicating. And forgive that person or yourself. You know, some days I have to do it constantly. I have to forgive this, that, and the other thing. But I'm getting much better at it. And what I have noticed is all those things from 30, 40, 50 years ago do not pop up in my mind anymore. They do not pop up. If they do, I go, pew! Does anyone remember that carnival game with the gopher?
Whack-a-mole.
Yes. And I just do it. They pop their head up. I go, pew! Yeah. And you have to do that to get rid of them. Otherwise, they just... And we don't... excuse me. We don't want that either, do we? We want a peaceful mind. One of the ways you gain a peaceful mind is through forgiveness. It's through forgiveness. I think people don't forgive, first of all, because they identify, and they think, I know that person, he's this. And I'm going to hold that image of him, and I'm going to hold the image of myself, you know, where people will say absolutely, well, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. Well, that doesn't do a bit of good. It doesn't do a bit of good if you can't. You have to forget the whole thing. Well, I think the other week I talked about the ideas. We keep punishing ourselves or thinking this, that, and the other thing. We should have done this, that, and the other thing. Well, we do everything that we do with the knowledge we have at the time. If we had different knowledge, we would do something differently. So as we get older, fortunately, I hope, we become wiser. And we're able to see that. So many people are not able to see that whatever they did when they were 16, they're not going to do now when they're 50, unless they're complete idiots. You know, we have to learn to grow. Things change constantly. We change constantly. We learn more about ourselves and the world constantly. So, forgive yourselves and forgive everybody else. Doesn't make a bit of difference, people. If it's all done with the mind, we're always telling a story. They're all stories. They seem very real to us. That's only a story. And you can change that story at any moment. By changing your thinking, by changing your mind. And we were not taught that as children, were we? About the mind. We weren't taught the power of the mind. We weren't taught the power of forgiveness. We were thrown into that mess, and we figured it out the best way we knew how. And fortunately, most of us, you know, survive childhood. They say if you survive childhood, you've made it. Because so many people have, you know, they can't survive childhood. We are fortunate. We can do it. We can survive all this stuff. We have the power, and you should have the knowledge now from coming to these classes to realize that it is the mental world. Your mind is what's doing everything, and that you can change your mind and therefore change your life. And one of the ways you do that is by sitting down and forgiving yourself and everybody else. You have to forgive yourself for those things. We talk a lot about prosperity and abundance. So many people will not receive prosperity and abundance because they haven't forgiven themselves. They don't think they deserve it. You see, I've done something, I don't deserve that. You deserve everything, people. You deserve everything. Never say to yourself, oh, I don't deserve that because I was a naughty boy, I peed in the alley one time or something. You cannot do that to yourself. You have to tell yourself every moment that you're one with this thing called God, that you have the power to forgive. You have the power to forgive yourself so that you can move on and move past all this stuff. When you come to the realization that things come into your life to go out of your life. They come into your life to go out of your life. That is what it means in the Bible when it said it came to pass. It came into existence to pass out of existence. So that what you're worrying about, where your mind sees this thing and you project all this stuff, it changes. You see, you cannot do that and think, oh, this is permanent. You thought immediately with your daughter that that situation was permanent. Now you see that she's working through it and it's not permanent. We have to remember, nothing is permanent. We like to make it so because it is a security for our mind. But there's no such thing as security. No such thing as security. By the way, I heard on the TV this afternoon, I turned it on for something, and it informed me that there's a robbery every 16 seconds. Now, I find that hard to believe. I just find that. And they just keep drilling that in. Oh, this is because that's ADT or something wants you to buy there. Their system, you know. I don't believe it, and I'm not going to believe it. And I'm going to tell you it doesn't happen in my universe. It does not happen in my universe. It may happen in other people's universe, but not in my universe. And why is that, that it doesn't happen in my universe?
You don't focus on it?
I do not focus on it. I do not allow it into my consciousness. I believe people are good and honest, and I do not attract that type of thing to me. The people that are scared to death of a robbery will be robbed. They will. I watch it all the time. And if you hear it on the news, well, I always thought that was going to happen. I always thought, da-da-da-da-da. Don't bring things into your life, people. You are creators. You're creating something every moment. So create what you want to create. That's the most marvelous thing about this universe. It allows you to create. It doesn't say, oh no, you can't have that, you can't create that. It says you can create anything you want if you put your mind to it. And if you stay your mind on what you want. That's the problem with us. We jump from pillar to post constantly. you must say, no, I'm here, and it's happening right here and right now, and I'm going to focus on what I want. But the mind likes to take that and always have you focus on something that you don't want. It loves you to focus on the negative. And the world teaches that, and certainly the television teaches you that. You know, you can't watch television without thinking, oh my God, is everyone a crook? Is everyone a murderer? Is everyone this? Look at this. And it's just one show right after the other. Don't do that to yourself. If you can watch it and it doesn't affect you, fine. But it does affect people. I talked to you about Raymond Charles Barker. He had the wonderful church in Alice Tooley Hall in Lincoln Center. And he used to read the New York Times every page. And when he was finished reading it, he would take his hand, slap it down on the desk and say, not a damn word of truth in it. It's all facts. There's no truth in the newspapers. They're all just facts. And I always liked that. He would, not a damn word of truth in it. And we think it's truthful. You say, I think the New York Times, its motto was, everything that's fit to print. That was how it started years, 100 years ago. Now they print any damn thing you want. And if you're ever in a supermarket, look at all that garbage. I don't want to hear about the Kardashians doing this other thing. The sister slept with the husband thing, and this happened here and that. And I get picked all that up just standing in line to get out of the store. And that's seeping in somewhere. You see, I have to go home and cleanse my mind. Does anyone remember how we used to do that? You remember? You just reach up, take your mind out, and put it under the faucet, clean it all up, and put it back. You have to do that type of thing. The world is out there constantly bombarding us with things that are not true. The things that are not true. Now, in your lifetime, we're all a little older than we used to be. Do you remember all the things you were taught and so forth that are now no longer valid? They're not, most of the stuff we learned, it's no longer valid. Do you remember we used to have a planet called Pluto? They took that away from us. You know? They take this stuff. It's all made up, people. All made up. Now, I know that the Earth is revolving and all that. I'm not into the flat world theory or anything. But some people still are. Some people still. Not that they think the Earth is still flat, but their thinking is back in that time, you know. We can't do that. We must raise our thinking up. Years ago, I forget who did this. They'll probably pull it out. This thing we talk about evolution all the time. You know, we have reached a point in consciousness where we are now participating in evolution. You see, before, evolution just went along. No one knew, but we can participate in evolution and evolve into what we want and have this world evolve into what we want it to be. So you have to have an image. You have to have a vision. What do you want your world to look like? It does not have to look like my world. But wouldn't you like a world that's filled with kindness? see? Just think of that. That everyone in the world would be kind. Or that you would show kindness to everyone. Now, I do believe, if I'm correct on this, that is what the Dalai Lama says when they ask, what's your doctrine? And he says, kindness. To be kind to people. Easy. Easy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We just have to say, I'm going to be kind to people. I have a difficult time with that sometimes because some people, do I have to be kind to that person? And then I remind myself, well, yes, I do, you know. Because I'm to this point also, you know, I admire Queen Elizabeth. Why? Because she plays that part well. She plays the part of a queen well. But she's the one, you know, even though her heritage proves that she's a queen, but she plays the role well. And that's what we have to do with our lives. If I say to myself or other people or put myself out there as a minister, then I better start acting like one. You know? I better start acting like one. You have to become the role. You have to become the role and play the role. That probably happened to you when you were teaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you became a teacher. You have to become those things. And that's the role you were playing. And we're all playing a role. So think of that. What role do you want to play? And it starts with what? First, sitting down and forgiving yourself for every little thing that you ever did in life. You know? I wasn't a bad child. I didn't think it was a bad child. But I did a lot of naughty things when I was a child. Now, I'm not going to punish myself. I'm going to forgive myself. I was a child. And that's what childhood is about, you see. We grow through things. It was Paul, in the Bible, Paul, who said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. Now that I'm a grown-up, I'm thinking like a grown-up. And this you'll see with people. Many people are still thinking with their child. You know, they're still childish. We have to grow up and start thinking like a grown-up, or start thinking like a spiritual person. And what does that mean? I have no idea. People throw that word around constantly. I mean, I know people who think they're very spiritual. Look at my friend the shaman. He thinks he's absolutely spiritual, but never get in a car with him because he carries on so and hates the other people. What are they doing? I mean, it's just his whole spirituality just goes down the drain. He doesn't know that I don't point it out to him, you see. But we have to start acting in every phase of our life the way we want to be. You see, that's why I'm trying to give up swearing, remember? I'm getting better at it. Now I only swear in the house when no one's around.
Only the dog.
Yes, the dog, he hears it. And I've come to a wonderful conclusion about that. I'm not offending God or anybody, because you can't offend God. I'm cleaning my life up, because it's not the role I want to play. You know, not that I think I keep going and going and going. I do want to keep going and going and going until I'm better and better and better. But I'm not thinking that I'm going to ascend at any moment. No, I'm not going to do things like that. Ascend.
Oh.
But I am going to clean up my act and act better and differently. And it starts with forgiving.
So if you're swearing, are you attracting experiences to swear at?
No.
If you're putting that energy out.
No, I'm not.
What do you think?
Is
there an attraction?
No, there's no attraction. It just doesn't sound right. You know.
You're barking.
Yeah. But it's not drawing anything to me. There's no power there to draw anything. It's just not a nice way, you know.
To express yourself.
Right.
It's more verbal.
Yeah. To behave. You have to express yourself. You know, you can't be a minister and be swearing every 2 minutes. People are not going to, no, they're not going to take it seriously. They're going to say something's wrong with that job. When I was installed as a minister, my brother and family came. And my brother said to me, "Well, if you think I believe that you're a minister, the way you talk, Dallas, and your lifestyle, I'll never believe it."
Really?
And, well, they don't. They don't believe it. It doesn't bother me. Years ago, it probably would have bothered me. I forgive them. You know, it's always, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. But they're, how can I put it mildly? They're superior Christians. You know? I'm sure they're both going to be on the right hand of God when they die. Oh, now he's leaving.
I gotta go. Yeah. So I'll call you. Love you.
Well, I'm not so sure.
Love you, baby.
I'm going to forgive you. So, think about that idea. Just to forgive and to start forgiving everything around you. See? Because we get into that. And once you get into holding that and is that you going off? And what does that mean? It is you? But what was it? Your phone? She's a very popular woman, you know. She's on the dating cycle.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Circus.
Forgive her.
Yeah, I'm going to have to forgive her. I just have to forgive her that. And you see, here again, none of that stuff bothers me. Years ago, the head can throw you out. But, you know, I'm over that kind of stuff here.
What would you say? How do you find it? How do you find the place to forgive somebody and indeed, it's not as bad as murder, but somebody who wreaked so much havoc on your life full of evilness, hate, anger, jealousy? How do you find it in your heart to forgive that person?
You have to find it in your heart because you haven't forgiven, because you're bringing it up. So it's still a memory there, and you have to get rid of that whole thing and just say, didn't mean that much, you know. Remember, God's already forgiven them.
Sometimes I ask God to help me.
Yes.
I've done that too. I have.
That's helped me. I have a client that has a lot of people that she's angry toward, and I told her, okay, for the next 3 weeks you're going to pray for those three people. We're going to start with three people, and every day you're going to wish them well in their life and happiness. And so it's been 2 weeks now. she says she feels much, the weight is lifting.
Yes.
And then we're going to go to the next person.
Yeah.
She's angry.
Right. So, she has more people than one. She's angry.
Yeah.
She does. Easier to let go than easier to hold on.
Yes.
Or harder to hold on.
But because of the identification of it, and because you really think that person did you wrong, and as you said, wasn't murder, but close to it and all, because we put weight on how bad we think something is. And there's no weight. See, in the mind of God, there's no such thing as big and small. It's all the same. You see, God does not know the difference between an ant and an elephant, people. Why doesn't God know the difference? Because God's only interested. Well, he doesn't judge, but God's only interested in life, not the size of life.
Because God doesn't want.
God's only interested in life, not the size of life. We look at something and say, "Ha, the elephant's more important than the ant." Mm. Not so. The ant is exactly the same as the elephant, and that's what you have to get. I'll tell you, Dolores, I told you earlier about her son. I was at her house one day when she was talking. She was new into the teaching, and one of the two things that people always ask, what about Hitler? How does he fit into the scheme of this? And how about sick children? So she was asking about Hitler and how could he do this? How could he have killed all these people? Why is she saying this? She's at the kitchen counter with a rag in her hand going across the counter that's loaded with, I would say, thousands of ants. And she's killing these ants. I said, look what you're doing. God doesn't know the difference between an ant and the people that Hitler killed. Same difference. I don't kill animals. I don't kill bugs. Of course, you want to know the best thing? I don't have bugs in my house. I don't. I don't attract them. Mother goes, oh, don't you get ants? I said, no, I don't get ants. No, I don't get ants. But I'll tell you, my mother used to come to visit me in Georgia. When she came to Georgia, flies and mosquitoes, every insect known to man would invade my place. Yeah, I told her, I said, Mother, you have a fly consciousness. She hated insects. That whole neighborhood where I grew up, those people, fly swatters. Do you remember fly swatters? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, they had... They were going... after every living thing, every little named it. You couldn't tell. Ants and stuff meant nothing to them. You know, that didn't mean a thing because it was small, you see. No such thing as big and small in the mind of God. It's all life. God is interested in life.
What happens if you have ants? I mean, and
there,
you don't want ants living around your kitchen or
your cockroaches
or flies roaming
around. Well, of course not. Well, then don't ask them in. Do you have
them? Ask them to go outside.
Yes.
Put sugar for them to go to. Set your boundaries. Same thing with spiders.
Yes.
Tell them what is acceptable and what's not. They hear you.
Yes.
They can hear every thought.
Right. You have to say, this is my house. You're not welcome here. Yes.
Generally, get crickets every once in a while.
But you just put them out, don't you? Yeah,
I'll
show
them.
Yeah, you
should. What did she show
me? Crickets.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
But you'd kill a fly, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Hmm. You need to work. But we have very few. Well, you haven't stopped doing it. Pardon?
It bothers me doing it, but it bothers me having them in there too at the same time.
Well, it bothers you killing them, doesn't it?
It bothers me.
You don't want to be a killing machine. You want to be a creative machine. You want to create something. Do what Casey says. Set boundaries.
As goes one, so goes them all. It's a consciousness. When you say it, they all get it. That doesn't mean they honor it, but your intention's out there.
So have you noticed the difference since you started doing it?
Yeah, if I get a fly in, there's a reason I feel this connection. They're trying to boom, and I'm like, as I can't have this, you know, projecting this, you're not allowed here, I can't have this. And I'm going to try to chase them out or whack them down. I'm not perfect, but
whack them down?
I have, I have a rule, no flies in the house.
My cat eats them.
So,
well,
let me borrow your cat.
But all that, it's all life, people, and we deal with it differently. And I don't, perfectly well, I don't have bugs in my house. I've never seen a bug in my house, thank goodness. But if my mother were alive and she'd come to visit, I could assure you every insect in the world would be, because she's looking for them all the time. She's looking for them all the time.
I have a big deal with it. This yesterday, I had to take two large black widows and set them out on the parkway. Normally I squash them, but I'm like, I'm not going to kill anybody today. So I took them and their nest and set them out in the front.
What nest?
Spiders. Black spiders. I don't have those either for some reason. I don't know.
Very seldom.
But I'm going to tell you that it's consciousness that does it to us. It's our consciousness. And I could always prove that when my mother would come, because I never had flies till she arrived, you know. Yeah, she had a fly consciousness. And she hated flies, you know. Just hated them. But we grew up in farm country with all the cows and the doo-doo from the cows, or oh my god, flies everywhere. So let's forgive ourselves, people. I'm going to forgive you for being a serial killer.
Thank you.
Now you'll think of that the next time you see a fly.
And we have to thank God for rain.
Yes, and we have to thank God we did get rain. And keep thinking of rain, people. It will happen. And stop. Now they have a thing on TV I saw. Rip out your yard and put in all the stuff.
They're talking about it in my complex.
Oh, yeah. They see. They go, well, they talked about mine. And I said, no, thank you. And the woman said to me, well, I can have a company come in. It's called the Terminator.
Oh my God.
I said, I'm not having a company come in and do anything, especially one called the Terminator.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not having it on the property. But they don't get any of that, you see. They don't get it. So, anyway, forgive yourselves. It's easy to do. Make yourself forgive. And you sit down and forgive this. Let it go. Release it. Because it's doing you harm. You see, it's doing you harm. And that's why. Love yourself enough to forgive yourself and the other person. Okay? That's what it requires. Love and forgiveness. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.